You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking New York Yankees with MLB.com's Yankees beat reporter, Brian Hogue. Brian, I think we know the answer to this one, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it. What's the biggest pleasant surprise of the first half for the 2015 Yankees?
I would have to say biggest surprise for me was Alex Rodriguez came back. He was healthy. He was productive, hitting the ball out of the park, doubles, homers, you name it. A force hitting third in the middle of that lineup. I think that it's easy to forget now. You roll the clock back to the first days of spring training in February. We didn't know if this guy could even get on the field. We didn't know what he was going to have left. We didn't know if he was going to be able to play any defense, whether he was going to hit or not. He was the great unknown. So I think that for all things considered, for him to be in the three spot, as DH, reliable for the Yankees, producing, keeping his head down, not creating headlines, hey, that's the biggest surprise to me. I think that nobody could have predicted this back in February.
Yeah, I mean, I think even an optimistic projection on him, and I think relative to the general populace, pretty optimistic about him, would have figured he would have been somewhere around what he was for a lot of 11 and 12, 270-ish, 350 OBP, but not a lot of power. And the thing that really stands out is the 16 home runs. Is this just a matter of a guy being healthier than he's been in a long time? What do you think has gone into him not only being a good hitter and getting on base, but regaining some of his pop?
I don't think the year off was the worst thing in the world for a guy who's 39 going on 40. I think that it allowed him to step back, and I think he's done some work mentally to kind of reformulate, and he wants to finish his career on a strong note there. But I think that physically, this is a guy who had been beat up. It seemed like every year he was going on the DL. He was having a lot of health issues, obviously the surgeries that we know about. There was a lot going on behind the scenes there, and it looked like he was limping to the finish of what was a great career. So I think that, you know, anybody who's 38, 39 years old, if they take a year off and come back, I mean, there's a question if the skills will still be there. But once they were, I think it showed the health had improved quite a bit. And look, I think that transitioning to DH role has helped him a lot, too. I think you can underestimate the wear and tear that is on your body when you're playing third base every day, diving around, diving for balls, just being on your feet nine innings a night. I think this has been huge for him. And he says that he put all his trust in Joe Girardi, and he entrusted that Joe was doing the right thing by DHing him. And I think that it's been for the best for both sides.
The other side of that coin, what's the biggest disappointment for the Yankees in the first half so far?
Yeah, biggest disappointment. I think you could go two ways on that, and I'm gonna split the difference there. I think on the pitching side, I'm gonna say CeCe Sabathia. You were hoping he would be able to give them more of a chance and keep them in games, and it just seems like every time he takes the ball, you don't have a really great feeling about it on the Yankee side. He's especially struggled against right-handed hitters, and I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of those around the majors. So I think that it's been a tough go for Sabathia. I think you expected more there. He's obviously still transitioning into dealing with the lower velocity and being in the second phase of his career here. But it's a transition the Yankees are just going to have to ride out because obviously he's not going anywhere, as we've spoken about. On the offense side, I'm going to go Stephen Drew. I think that by this point you thought that there was going to be some more consistency offensively. I think that last year he got a lot of a pass because of the missing spring training. You figured that maybe it was an interrupted year, maybe a full offseason of training, a regular spring training would help him. The numbers just aren't there. And I know he's had some power. He's got these random games that pop up where he'll hit a couple homers, but the batting average still under 200. You want to see more out of your everyday second baseman.
So as we talk right now, the Yankees are a first-place team. They're five games over 500 and probably more or less within range of what was a fair expectation of them, maybe on slightly on the optimistic end. If there's one story or one sequence of events that has them in first place and having a pretty decent overall year, what would you point to as sort of the reason why they are where they are right now?
I think it's, again, I'm going to go two things. I'm going to say they're hitting home runs again. They've gone back to being the Bronx Bombers. And it's not just A-Rod. It's Mark Teixeira has come back. He's an all-star now in the first half. Brett Gardner setting the table at the top of the lineup. He had a monster June with Jacoby Ellsbury out. He was on base a ton. Brian McCann came back and is hitting for power. He's having more of the Brian McCann-type year that the Yankees gave him $85 million in expectation of. I think the middle of the lineup is not something that opposing pitchers can just mow through. And that's what we've seen the last couple of years because of injuries, because of the fact that Mark Teixeira wasn't the real Mark Teixeira, any number of things. I think that the middle of the lineup is a power threat again. The Yankees are hitting home runs. That's why they're near the top of the league in runs scored. That's a huge thing. And the bullpen has been pretty good. I think Dellin Betances has had a couple blips. They're only going to get stronger with getting Andrew Miller back now. And the other guys like Jason Shreve and Justin Wilson, for the most part, have been pretty good. So I think that they've been getting leads, and for the most part, they've been holding them.
As we look ahead to the second half, what's the top storyline to watch, the top thing that's going to kind of tilt where this team goes?
I think health is always huge, especially with a veteran team like this. You need to keep these guys on the field. You saw it with Ellsbury. They were a different team when you had Jacoby Ellsbury for the first 6 weeks of the season. And obviously Brett Gardner was able to fill in, and Chase Headley got a lot of time in the two spot, and Chris Young was up there too for a little bit. But you can't replace guys like that. They've got a lot of big money poured into these guys, the Ellsbury's, the Teixeira's, the McCann's, the A-Rod's. When you go to that second tier and try to replace those guys, it's really tough to equal that production. So I think that, you know, like any team, if the Yankees can stay healthy, and especially because they're a veteran team, they're an older team, and that falls on Joe Girardi to really keep an eye on these guys, give them a break when they need it. I know that fans don't like seeing when a guy gets a day off just for rest, but these are really necessary. So, you know, the days of when you saw guys playing 158, 162 games a year, I think that as far as the Yankees are concerned, these guys, you're not going to see that anymore. So I think that Girardi is going to have to pick his spots and be smart about it. But if they can keep these guys healthy and keep them off the DL, that's going to be huge for them.
Give me one move, and it can be internal or external, that this team needs to make to get to the postseason.
Oh, to get to the postseason?
I get wherever they want to go. Sure. I mean, what's a move this team needs to do?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that they can contend in this AL East the way they are right now. I think that they're flawed, but so is everybody else in this division. But if they really want to take that next step and become a upper echelon team and a real team that you want to say is going to dominate in October, well, I think that the first thing that jumps out at me is they got to do something about second base. I think that at some point here, last year they had Brian Roberts up until the trade deadline, and they knew that Brian Roberts wasn't their ideal fit for second base, but they wrote it out. I think you're getting to that point with Stephen Drew now where the clock is starting to get to midnight, and you're going to take a step back and say, all right, we've got a pretty big sample size here that suggests that this guy is not the guy that we thought we were signing. He's only $5 million. They said they could cut him loose if things weren't working out. I would say that things aren't working out. I know the Yankees have been very patient with this one. They want to see it work out. I'm just not seeing the results here. So I think that's probably where I'd start if I was in Brian Cashman's office. I would be looking to upgrade to second base.
Do you see a guy out there who would be an upgrade?
Yeah, I mean, Ben Zobrist would be a huge upgrade. The question is, you know, I don't think the A's is just going to give him away, but he's in town right now. He was asked about New York yesterday. He said he likes New York just as much as he likes any other city. So it's not like he's born and bred dying to wear pinstripes, and obviously the A's are not just going to give him away, but he's a guy that I think would be an instant upgrade at second base, so let me throw that name out there. But barring that, I think you have to look at these numbers that Rob Revsnyder is putting up at AAA and say, how bad defensively can he really be if you're refusing to call him up? So I know he's a work in progress. They want to give him as much time there. He hasn't played the position a whole lot. But if the bat is carrying him, and it can translate to the big leagues, and I'm not sure that it can, but everything at AAA suggests that this guy can hit him a little bit here. I'd want to see him sooner rather than later.
So adding all that up, when we talk about the Yankees at the end of the season, what are we going to talk about? Where does this team finish? How deep, if they get to October, do they go? Where's this team going over the next 3 or 4 months?
Well, let me pull out my crystal ball, and while I'm at it, I'll...
What are you, Tony La Russa?
Yeah, and while I'm at it, I'll buy some lottery tickets. But I think that what we talked about in spring training, we said this team was going to win somewhere between 84 and 87 games and be in the thick of the division race or the wild card race. So I think that nothing I've seen in the first half tells me that's not true. They are a flawed team. They're the kind of team that can run off a hot streak and dominate for a little while, and then they fall into a tailspin and leave you scratching your head and lose 7 out of 8 or something like that. I think that they're that kind of team. There's going to be ups and downs, but they're lucky that they're in a division where nobody's running away with it. They're competitive there. There's a lot of parity, and they have a strong base. I think that they can hang in the race with what they have, and I think that you're looking at a team that should be thinking about printing playoff tickets, whether it's as a wild card or a division team. And I think that once you get in that dance, you've heard it so many times, the first step is getting there. After that, anything can happen. Any team can get hot. And this team, just as much as anybody, can get hot at the right time.
All right. Well, Brian Hoke, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.